This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Did they just out-execute you guys tonight as far as breakouts and doing all the little things that go into winning a game?
Vogues, if we sat here and went through the whole game from breakout to getting through the neutral zone to forecheck to wall play, we could – it wasn't good, and that's the bottom line. Our entire game was not good, and we'll – like I said, we'll regroup and we'll get ready for game two.
Spencer Carberry last night after the Caps lose Game 1 to Carolina, 2-1 in overtime. Joining us right now, kind to do it before his show at 1 o'clock, where I'm sure he will have a lot of thoughts on last night's game, is Chris Russell. I mean, you know me. I don't know a lot about hockey, but I like it this time of year. And I open the show by saying, you don't really have to know hockey to know a one-sided beatdown and that the score was misleading like last night's game. Do you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely, because Carolina completely dominated, as Spencer Carberry said, and I was at that press conference, and he went for that was one of the few answers that he actually gave with any kind of detail, and the other one, I think, was to mine about the physical component not being there and how badly Carolina out-hit and out-physicaled Washington, but I'm sure we'll touch on that in a sec, but that could have easily been 3-1, 4-1 at the end of regulation, where you don't even need the game-winning goal because it's not going to overtime. And this is with a 1-0 lead on the Protas goal. This is with surviving a very shaky first period and playing better in the second period. But even as that period went on, when I thought they would really feed off of the momentum, they just didn't have it, Kev. I mean, again, they should have lost this game 3-1, 4-1 in regulation. Thompson saved them. And, you know, they ultimately lost it on a not good clear, surprise, shocker, and ultimately a long-distance shot that kind of trickles through. I thought it got deflected live, but I guess it didn't.
It didn't.
Was
that a bad goal that he let in?
It's not a great goal. I don't know if I want to call it a bad goal, but it's not a great goal by any stretch.
I have a specific question about last night. And Emily Kaplan was on with us earlier in the show. For those of you that missed it, she's really good. You can find it in the first hour of the show on the team980.com or by downloading the Odyssey app. But, you know, the 94-34 shot attempt disparity, which is, you know, incredible. Now, she said that's always expected. It's the way Carolina plays. You know, they're analytics driven. They're about shot attempts, and they think ultimately that will lead to more goals offensively. My question to you, as somebody who knows hockey, is do you take chances by being that aggressive? Can part of the cap strategy be we're okay with the ice tilted that much because the counter attack You know, the counterpunch, we're going to end up with what Ryan Leonard ended up with last night. We're going to end up with a couple of two-on-ones and three-on-twos. And the high-quality chances they got weren't, you know, overwhelming. Is it okay for that disparity to continue in hopes of scoring on the counter?
Well, yes and no. And I'll straddle the fence. Because, yes, if you can actually get those opportunities and finish them. No, if you're getting such limited opportunities, limited shots on goal, limited two-on-one, three-on-twos, limited sustained puck possession, time in the offensive zone to cycle through, you know, the forecheck's not working, so on and so forth. Because, like, you're dealing, I guess the best way I put it is you're constantly flirting with danger. I used to talk with Barry Trotz about this. And I disagreed with Barry Trotz about this, I should say. And he was right, I guess, and I was wrong. And that is, like, that the Capitals championship team and the Capitals teams leading up to that would never pepper the goaltender and the offensive zone quite like you see out of a team like Carolina, right? And my argument was, and I think this would be Rod Brind'Amour's argument, is you take your chances and you get knockdowns, deflections, weird puck bounces, weird caroms, so on. You just never know. And Barry's point was always quality over quantity. And I do get that, but you can't play a game when you're this suspect, in my opinion, on the back end, right? Don't forget, you don't have Martin Ferravari. You have Alex Alexiev, and he was involved in the turnover on the game-tying goal. I'm not saying it was his fault, but he was involved in that. You can't play this much with the tilted ice in the back end and so on and so forth and expect to get away with it, especially when you're not finishing on the other end or you're not getting any sustained counteraction on the other end.
All right, so best of sevens in all sports, it's about, okay, one game's in the books, now it's about adjustments. And Spencer Carberry, from what I know, from what people have told me, is considered to be a high-level kind of X's and O's coach. So what are the adjustments that he has to make?
In my opinion, they have to, because they're not carrying the puck through, or at least last night, because they're not carrying the puck through the neutral zone and setting up shop and setting up camp and getting that good puck cycle and all the hockey terms, I think you're going to have to play more of a dump and chase forecheck, your ass off in the corners, and use that physicality that they absolutely have the edge on, Kev, to their advantage in the corners to dig pucks out.
The edge isn't as large as it was against Montreal in terms of the size and physicality.
That's fair, but people in Carolina, they know that Carolina's in a little bit of trouble if Washington does what they were able to do at times in the regular season matchups, including the last matchup in the second period of that game in mid-April, where Washington dominated, and it started with Ovechkin as a heat-seeking missile. And I thought a couple of times last night, Ovechkin had a couple of hits in one sequence.
Yeah.
Tom Wilson had a couple of hits inside the first three and a half minutes. Ryan Leonard had a big hit. Pierre-Luc Dubois had a hit. But I never saw it like a sustained rolling like you did against Montreal. And part of that is because Carolina, with the puck, you know, you're chasing them, and they've got speed, and they've got skill, and they've got transition. So they're going to have to find a way to use that physicality to wear them down over the series. So the only way I can think of course, be better when they have the puck. Yes, we all understand that. But the only way I can think of to use your physicality to your advantage, again, especially if you're struggling to get the puck through the neutral zone and to set up shop in the offensive zone, and you're struggling to get sustained shots and chances, is by digging by dumping the puck in and having an aggressive forecheck in the corners and behind the net, so that hopefully you get an opportunity to center one for Dylan Strome or Tom Wilson or Alex, obviously, in the office, or just back to the point for Carlson or Jacob Chychrun, right, who, by the way, I didn't think Jacob Chychrun played a very good game last night. I thought he was really poor late in regulation, early in overtime, and it almost cost them.
So for you know, the wear and tear of a long series to work ultimately in the Caps' favor, you got to get to a long series.
Yeah.
So last night, They were dominated, almost won a game, and it would have been a stealing of a game had they won that game last night, 1-0, or had gotten a fluke bounce on one opportunity in overtime. Are you concerned after watching what we watched last night that this doesn't get to a long series?
Yeah. I mean, how could you not be? Because even though the positive angle is, hey, they played as bad as they can play, and they could have won if it was a doubt.
Leonard had a breakaway.
Well, Leonard had the breakaway with 5.5 minutes left to go. But what wasn't it Dowd in overtime, I think, on the feed? I want to say
may
it was
have been
Dowd.
One chance. But puck was dominated by
absolutely.
Carolina in the OT.
And that's the problem is when you look at the sustained control and puck possession and domination, and you realize that this was the one kind of bugaboo about the Capitals. Even when things were going well, Spencer Carberry was not happy about their puck control and their puck possession. Never mind the last month of the regular season. And even at times in Montreal, like people forget, okay, they beat Montreal 4-1. They were awful in the third period until games 4 and 5.
Right.
And a lot of what we saw sustained over 3 periods in overtime last night was reserved for Montreal in the third period, Kev. But the difference is Carolina's so much better, deeper, faster, tougher, meaner, skilled, all of that stuff. And they roll 4 lines. Montreal rolled 1 line. So this is a big-time problem. Yes, I think they'll make some counters. Yes, I think they'll be better tomorrow night. There's no way I don't think they can be as bad. I know they're not as bad as they showed last night. Do I think they're going to win? Listen, they're going to have to play a lot better. I hope. But if you go down 0-2 to Carolina, even though they made a living of that in the 2018 Cup playoff run, that's a whole different beast down there.
So are you going to open the show with the series is over?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to say I am very concerned about this series, which I was to begin with, but I did pick the Caps in 7. However, I did pick the Carolina Hurricanes to win last night. I did not think it would be that much of a dominant effort, but I did pick Carolina to win last night.
Well, the good news is we don't have to wait a week for the next game like we did at the end of the Montreal series. That's absurd, by the way. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, the NHL is trying to keep everybody, you know, in line. And every league does it a little bit differently.
They're
NBA.
Spreading it out.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Game 2 tomorrow night. You're up next. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate you.
Chris Russell, everybody. Thanks to Chris. Thanks to Emily Kaplan, who joined us earlier in the show. Jeff Zilgit from USA Today to talk some NBA hoops. And Max did a great job today. Back tomorrow, everybody. Chris is next.